This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. When we talk about the gold rush, most people think of the thousands who ran to California to find nuggets in the water there. But Georgia had a gold rush of its own. And an exhibition at the University of Georgia features items from that 1829 event. Wright State environmental history professor Drew Swanson calls the era an ugly chapter of Georgia's past. And Drew Swanson joins us now. Welcome.
Hi, Celeste. Thanks for having me.
So it's kind of interesting when you read about the Georgia Gold Rush, we don't actually know what started it. I read no fewer than six or seven different accounts of the event that launched the Georgia Gold Rush, and I guess I can just pick whichever is my favorite, right?
That's probably as good a guess as any, yeah. The most famous story centers on an individual named Benjamin Parks, who... it's believed discovered gold in modern-day Lumpkin County, probably in 1828.
On his birthday.
Yeah, at least according to some stories, yeah. But
just like supposedly he was just walking along a deer path and found this gigantic nugget.
That's how the story goes, but he sort of trips over this stone and probably curses it, and then when he tries to roll it back into place, he notices that it glitters, and he tries to keep the secret, but it... it leaks out, and soon North Georgia is overrun. But there are, as you said, a number of contesting claims for the first discovery in the region.
But one way or another, by the summer of 1829, the fact that there was gold in them, our hills had spread, and people began to mine gold in Georgia. It didn't last nearly as long as the California gold rush, but you say that it actually had some lasting impacts. What was one of the most important?
Well, it does. I think really the industrial story of the Georgia Gold Rush is the lasting one and the largely untold one. So, you know, Georgia school students, when they learn about the gold discovery in Georgia, they usually get this this tale of sort of rustic frontier mining, a little bit of account about how the gold rush eventually hastens the removal of the Cherokee from Georgia. And all that is somewhat accurate, but this is also a pretty industrial, commercial activity from an early date, and that persists.
And they talk about hydraulic mining and a number of blast mining, where they were literally blowing holes in the mountain to try to see if there was gold in there. Do we still see environmental impacts from more than 150 years later?
If you read the landscape, you can. So this takes multiple forms. I mean, the early mining, they're altering creek and riverbeds. They're changing the hydrology and the channels of these streams. They're using mercury as a part of the extractive process in early mining to separate gold dust from the quartz ore itself. But it's hydraulic mining, as you say, that's the really sort of intensive and destructive force at work here. So if...
can you explain what hydraulic mining is, how that works?
Yeah, so what it is it's using the pressure of water to wash away the earth and get at the ore underneath. So you would divert a river or a stream course somewhere uphill. You'd use gravity and a set of sort of narrowing pipes to increase the pressure as it flowed downhill. And the end result is essentially like turning a modern fire hose onto an embankment to wash the soil away. So if a listener has ever directed their garden hose at their yard and watched it slowly bore a hole into the earth, imagine that on a scale thousands of times larger, sort of washing away acres at a time in some cases. And that was pioneered in California, in some cases by Georgia miners who'd made the move when gold was discovered in California, but it's brought back to North Georgia in the late 1850s. And it's really only the Civil War that cuts those efforts short.
And there, you know, not surprisingly, there's some sort of dramatic tales. And in that particular case, the assayer in Dahlonega supposedly stood on the steps of the Dahlonega courthouse and yelled at the miners, "Why go to California? In that ridge lies more gold than man ever dreamt of." And he said there was millions of it. That he wasn't exactly right. They mined about 24,000 kilograms of gold. But let's move on to what happened with Cherokee land, because in many cases, miners were not concerned at all about the fact that they were mining, and in some cases, as you say, blowing holes in mountains of land that was owned by the Cherokee. What happened with the Cherokee that lived there?
Well, in many ways, this gold rush hastens Cherokee removal, as Ira mentioned. Although I think it's worth noting that hastened is the best way to describe this. I think there's no real sort of genuine chance, I think, to argue that Cherokee would have remained in Georgia, wouldn't have been removed, because this happens all over the Southeast in places that gold isn't discovered. So the Choctaw and the Chickasaw are pushed out of Mississippi. The Seminole are eventually pushed out of Florida. And Georgia had been pressuring the Cherokee and the Creek, sort of gobbling up chunks of their land before gold is discovered. But it does speed it up. So you have thousands of miners flooding into Cherokee territory as soon as gold is discovered. And you have the state moving pretty quickly to establish its authority over Cherokee territory, push the federal government to hasten removal, and ultimately there's sort of a direct and pretty quick line to the Trail of Tears. But you have a few years in the 1830s where you have this sort of overlapping, contested landscape where the state has divvied up and promised these gold lots to Georgians. Cherokee still have official authority over this land, and it leads to a great deal of sort of violence and contestation on the ground.
And as you say, I want to emphasize that one of the things that you mentioned in there is that this gold rush in Georgia really may not have caused, but brought about sooner the Trail of Tears, which was a disaster of epic proportions among Native peoples. So how do we weigh the gold rush historically? Is there a way to sort of weigh the pros and cons and say it was a net positive or net negative?
Yeah, that's a complex calculation.
Yeah.
In terms of Cherokee removal, obviously, it's a tremendous negative. From the perspective of many Georgians at the time, it was a tremendous positive, right?
Yeah.
It produces a great deal of hard currency in a nation that was tremendously starved for it. Before the California Gold Rush, really the American South, Southern Appalachia, was the sole real source of gold, of specie, of hard currency. And we forget how economically important that was at the time. So about $40 million worth of gold comes from Georgia before the Civil War. That might not sound like a tremendous amount
was
to
in
us
18...
in the present, but it was.
Yeah.
Yes, in the 1830s and 40s. It depends on which sort of economic calculator you use. But it ranges from hundreds of millions of dollars to billions of dollars in sort of modern purchasing power.
Would there be, I mean, the Civil War kind of precipitously ended the gold rush as a rush. It didn't end the mining completely, but it pretty much ended, right? The massive numbers. So in that case, I guess the Civil War was in one very small, narrow way, a kind of a good thing, at least for the Georgia landscape, didn't really help the Native peoples. But when we talk about some of the impacts that we're still feeling, especially in light of this exhibit, which looks at some of the artifacts, we also have to talk about some of the toxins that still exist, because there's a chance that the mercury left over from mining gold is still in our environment.
Yeah, some of it's floating around somewhere. As
far
as I
know,
there's no sort of big intensive study of this. The way that they used the mercury was they used these massive stamping machines that it would essentially pound quartz ore, break it down into smaller particles, and then that material, which contained gold dust, would be passed over these plates that contained mercury. And the mercury and the gold would bond, and then the way that you separated the two was to, using heat, boil off the mercury. So a lot of this was released into the environment. And you might imagine that as a sort of tremendous occupational health hazard, although they didn't necessarily understand it as such at the time.
Well, we understand that. In the minute that we have left, why don't we remember the Georgia Gold Rush?
I think because what happens in California overwhelms it. as important as Georgia was, and to a lesser extent, mining gold in North Carolina, the California rush is much larger in terms of the numbers of people who become involved in the migration to undertake this mining, in terms of the gold produced. And then it'll be followed by a number of other significant large gold rushes in places like Colorado and then the Klondike, and then international rushes in Australia and South Africa.
Yeah.
And so I think there's always a sort of bigger better gold frontier
in
our imagination.
That is Drew Swanson, the Associate Professor of History at Wright State University. Drew, thank you so much.
My pleasure.